a new UFO report out, the first independent review of UFO phenomena in 30 years. A 1968 report by Dr. Edward Condon of the Colorado Project concluded that, quote, further extensive study of UFOs probably cannot be justified in the expectation that science will be advanced hereby. And then just 2 years later, a report by the American Institute of Aeronautics and Astronautics recommended, quote, a continuing moderate-level research effort with emphasis on improved data collection by objective means and on high-quality scientific analysis. In the current study, a 9-member scientific review panel heard presentations of UFO evidence by 7 UFO investigators. Joining us today to talk about the review and the scientific panel's conclusions is the panel's co-chair. Von Eschelman is a professor emeritus of electrical engineering at Stanford University in Stanford, California. He joined us by phone. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me.
You're welcome. What kind of scientists were on the panel?
On the scientific review panel, these were physical scientists, most of whom really had no prior exposure more than the normal citizen to the question of the UFO problem.
Uh-huh. And the
other half, as you mentioned, of the group were UFO investigators who've been involved in that enterprise for some years.
And so these were investigators the public has been hearing about for years, or were they more quieter type of investigators?
They have published in the UFO literature and have been sort of self-motivated and self-paid for many years, and the attempt was made by Professor Peter Sturck, who organized this meeting with after conversations with Mr. Lawrence Rockefeller, who had an interest in it, and they picked out prominent UFO investigators and asked them to give their best shot, their best evidence.
And you had to narrow down the evidence, right?
Yes, we asked in particular for cases where there was physical evidence, something that a scientific panel might be able to get into in terms of relating it more to the scientific method instead of depending so much on anecdotal types of reports.
Would alien abduction have been ruled out?
It wasn't mentioned.
It wasn't mentioned. That's
you know, for some people, the word UFO sort of means alien spacecraft abductions and government cover-ups and so forth. But we define it to be just what it says. It's unidentified. Mm-hmm. And we work on it to see if we can help identify it. But no doubt, many things will remain unidentified.
So the kinds of physical evidence you're talking about were photographs, were they metal parts of things, or what? What kind of physical evidence?
Well, primarily photographs and accounts that had some backup from based on aircraft instrumentation or radar or several sightings from different independent directions and so forth.
So you had to have a verification by a few witnesses.
Yes, but even more than that, something physical is possible.
Yeah. And the conclusions of the panel were?
Well, they're pretty mild, I think, that the UFO problem is not a simple one, and it's not likely that there's a simple answer. The second conclusion, I think, the most important, relative to, in comparison with the one by the Condon Committee about there not being much reason to continue studies into the future, we concluded that whenever there are unexplained observations, there is the possibility science will learn something new by studying these observations.
So that scientists should get involved in actually going out and investigating.
Well, we didn't make that specific recommendation. We did say that some regular contact between the UFO community and physical scientists could be productive, and that we should concentrate on cases which include as much independent physical evidence as possible. I doubt very much if we'll have any of the scientists change their careers at this stage and be actively pursuing these reports. There are a number of people doing that. I think a little bit of connection between the two can hopefully bring a little more scientific method into how some of the observations are done.
But doesn't that then call out for having an organization that is trustworthy and is well versed in scientific method to go investigate them, so that you're united, you know, in one place and can be, and any conclusions they come up with can be a little more trustworthy?
Well, one of the main conclusions was that the effort in France that has been going on for some 20 years, where there is government support to act as an intermediary between people who are making reports and people who might be able to help identify what is going on.
Didn't we used to have the Project Blue Book and things like that?
Yes, that's true, and I think it was mainly dropped after the Condon report from the very negative aspect of there not being anything worthwhile to look at. Our conclusions aren't drastically different, but they do depart on that point by saying that we think it's presumptuous, actually, to say that there's nothing there when you don't even listen to what the story is. Unfortunately, this field has become so terribly polarized that you have extreme views that there's absolutely nothing there, and scientists saying they don't want to even mention the word UFO, the initial UFO.
Mm-hmm.
And they won't talk to people who say they have something unexplained they'd like some help on.
Mm-hmm.
At the other extreme, of course, are what you mentioned, the alien spacecraft abduction.
But on the other hand, following that line of reasoning, when you have legitimate scientists who might be interested in investigating it, they're looked at as nuts or quacks or, you know, people who are shouldn't deserve to be scientists anymore.
They have that problem, I agree. Yes, I say many people won't undertake it because of that. At the same time, we're calling on somewhat of change in viewpoint from a group, our group at least. These are physical scientists who have done quite well in their respective areas. They're not proposing to get involved themselves, but they believe an occasional contact between these groups could be quite fruitful. The one telling factor, I believe, of the French effort is that they gather, you know, thousands of reports.
Right.
And maybe hundreds, they think, is something that ought to be looked into more completely. And then they bring to bear scientific advisory people within France to help them on that, in that regard, this group is gathering the evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the more effort is put in, the fewer that are remain that are unidentified. In other words, get down to a relatively small number of things that they can't make any more headway on. They don't understand it. It is unidentified. But the number are not nearly as large as the number that we reported at the beginning. I think that would be true if we started a program of that kind here.
But that would take government money invested in it.
In France, there is, not in the United States.
Right. I mean, if we started something like that here, you'd have to have a framework set up, and that means setting it up using government funding. And wouldn't that also then be looked at by skeptics who say, well, the government project, they're never going to want to find anything?
We're not specific about who might fund it. We say that some form of regular funding would be advantageous.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's an interesting comparison with the search for extraterrestrial intelligence community in the United States, which was supported by the government for some years. Then, due to Senator Prochmar and others in Congress saying that it's sort of like the UFO thing, it's not respectable science, so therefore the government shouldn't fund it, then the government did drop out entirely. But the SETI, FETI,
right.
The SETI effort has gone forward, and it's even more active now than it was previously. It's privately funded, and in fact, is moving into the mainstream of science. I was at an international meeting in the summer of 1996, where a great deal of the SETI work was planned. And presented. And there are Nobel Prize winners and many scientists involved in that effort. Yet 10 years ago, I would say that the SETI community and the UFO community shared positions beyond the pale of respectable science in a comparable way. There may be a lesson there, by the way, that why did one move into becoming respectable science and the other has not, in that not many people realize that the SETI community have unidentified radio signals. What they are doing, of course, is listening at all radio frequencies in all directions and all times and trying to see if there's any intelligent signal leaked or purposely sent from another technological society. They've never come forward and said that they had such a signal, but they have, without making much ado of it, often had very strong signals that they cannot identify. In other words, they're like the UFO community, they're in a position where they have a lot of things happening that may be considered possible evidence, but
they don't talk much about it.
It can't be confirmed, yeah. It can't be repeated, and therefore it's not talked about in terms of a signal that is should be investigated further.
That's why they make movies called Contact.
Yes, well, that was of the various things that have gone on, I think that's a little closer to how these things go than some of the X-File type things.
Yeah. Let's go to Michael in New York. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing? I'm the director of the New York Center for UFO Research, and I'm familiar a little bit with this report that was just released, although I haven't read all of it. But I get the idea. Now, there's another report that I think your listeners would be very interested in hearing about as well. And first, let me say that I consider the Peter Sterik organized report at Stanford University a tremendous effort and probably the most important investigation that's been done in the last 30 years. But having said that, I must add that there is another report, a secret one, that was financed by Lawrence Rockefeller, the same man who financed the Stanford University report. And that report goes a lot further than the secret report that's gone to 1,000 world leaders. I have a copy of it, and it's not easy to get. And it comes to the rather shocking conclusion, at least I guess to the general public, although certainly not to people who have been laboring in the UFO community, that Earth is being visited by intelligent extraterrestrials at the present time. There's an elaborate worldwide cover-up.
Let me ask Von Esselman if he's heard of this.
I'm sorry, I have not read this or heard of it.
This report is called Unidentified Flying Objects, a briefing document. It went to the White House. It went to Henry Kissinger, the president of France.
Where did you get it from, Michael? Where did you get it?
Through Rockefeller's office.
Through Lawrence Rockefeller's office?
That's correct.
So it should be easy to track down.
There's no question. I mean, it's been in the media a little bit that this report is there, so I have a copy of it. And there's no question that it was that it's authentic and it's official, and not only comes to the conclusion that we're being visited, but furthermore, Mr. Rockefeller has made some direct approaches to the White House. I had a number of meetings at the White House with the science advisor, John Gibbons, in an effort to have the President of the United States grant presidential immunity to a group of individuals who worked at the Pentagon in the 1960s and 70s. Who prepared to blow the whistle if granted presidential immunity. So we're way beyond what is said in the Stanford University report, as important as that is.
So you're saying Lawrence Rockefeller actually went ahead to get immunity for me?
He definitely did.
Yeah. All right, thanks for calling, Mark.
Thank you.
Well, you know, every time you talk about UFOs, someone's going to say there's a secret cover-up going on someplace.
Yes, yes, I say that's a good example of polarization that exists.
But it would seem, we'll call the follow-up, Lawrence Rockefeller's office, and his it was his foundation, was it not?
He was present at the meetings that Mr. Sterik was chairing and organizing. I was chair of one aspect of it.
So we know at least that he has a personal interest in this. Is his own bucks coming out? Well, he can afford it, certainly.
He afforded it, and he has a personal interest. There's no mention of anything approaching the kind of thing that was just described. Mm-hmm. Our report appears in the Journal of Scientific Exploration in a current issue, which is scientifically oriented, but it is is a place where things that aren't accepted in the normal scientific literature would normally be published.
Hmm. Aren't you fearful of opening now, like we're seeing, a Pandora's box here?
Well, I haven't been exposed to this before myself, and I see some of that happening. I think it's a quite sober look that we took, and the recommendations are logical things that ought to be done at this stage, and that we shouldn't, the so-called scientific community shouldn't just cut it off entirely and say there's nothing there.
Yeah. Tell us about how you explained in your report things that were seen as the UFO events, but how you explained them. What were some of the things that were?
Well, there were two things that were obviously explainable. And that's one advantage of having continual contact in the future, and it relates to the French effort where a closer look often explains many of them. A particular example I found interesting was involving strange lights seen in the sky in Norway, where a number of UFO reports had been coming. This was by two women at a remote location where they saw colored lights in a clear sky, nighttime sky, no clouds. And covered by displays of flashing reds and blues that moved slowly during the night and lasted for hours. Now, that's the kind of report that has been made 10 years ago to a scientific group of people who are experts on what goes on in the atmosphere. They would have said that the UFO of the kind that we don't want to have even look into because we know it doesn't happen. But in this case, the scientists at that time would have been wrong. But now we know that there is something that happens very high in the sky. And when we asked about this particular display, there was a thunderstorm 120 kilometers away. The scientific theory of some years ago would have been that whenever there's a storm, the electrical activity, the light activity, is in the clouds and below. What has changed more recently is that we know that there's a very interesting light, red stripes and blue jets and something called elves that exist above thunderstorms. And it's only within the last few years that this has been generally recognized in the scientific literature and being studied for improved information about atmospheric electricity and thunderstorms in general.
Give us an idea of some of the things that could not be explained.
Well, I would say they tend to be on the anecdotal side, although there was some physical evidence. In one case, there was a photograph that Dr. Richard Haynes has been looking at for a very long time of somebody who didn't actually see what was in the frame of the, even though it was a reflex camera, but had a shot that after development looked like a flying saucer kind of thing, and a great deal of effort has been put into trying to use scientific methods to analyze the photograph in a way that might be telling more about it. I would say that we were left with the feeling that, yes, that's very interesting, but we can't really push it any further. People have investigated as far as they can, and they can't really say more than the fact that it's unexplained.
Let me go to the phones to Dr. Eugene Epstein in Los Angeles. Hi, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, good morning. I'm a retired radio astronomer, and I've had a long-standing interest in UFOs. And like any physical scientist, like Professor Eshelman, have been frustrated by the absence of physical evidence that independent labs could go back and measure. In the early 1970s, I suggested that the Research Corporation give one of their discretionary grants to Professor J. Allen Hynek to do the following. A geophysicist by the name of Dirk Pearson had tabulated a variety of geophysical archaeopaleontology type things that one could do on ground samples taken at locations where there had been visual observations of UFO landing. That is, where you could go out and pick up some ground, see if it was charred or been exposed to a magnetic field or radioactivity, et cetera, and several independent labs could analyze it, and that is due the normal process of science, independent collaboration, and after-the-fact analyses of the soil. The fantasy was that if indeed there was some physical activity at those sites where such observations were made, that UFO landed out in the back 40 of the farm, one could publish in a refereed journal such as the Journal of Geophysical Research a report titled something like Anomalous Magnetic Fields and Radioactivity Exposure at Seven Remote Sites Around the World, and only as a footnote at the very end, one could add, incidentally, our attention was drawn to these seven sites because there were visual observations of a UFO that had landed. I'd like to know if the report, Professor Ashelman's report, makes suggestions about doing such things again. And the second area where one could re-examine data, there's numerous surveillance satellites, some of which we're aware of, some of which we're not aware of, which are constantly monitoring activity in the above the atmosphere, that is ICBM, things that Defense Support Program satellites, which are well known,
right,
and other things which look at, are able to detect things much lower in the atmosphere. Are those two sources of potential hard science kind of information being proposed in the report?
Dr. Eshelman, before you answer, let me just remind everybody that this is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from National Public Radio. Go ahead.
With regard to your first comment about ground traces or evidence of that type, there were several cases of that type that were discussed at the panel meeting, and in particular, calling of attention of the U.S. people that might get involved in something like this to a case in France where related to a reported sighting of a UFO in a particular area, that careful studies were made of the vegetation and the earth itself in the vicinity of where it was said to have been, and there were things that went on that involving heat damage or radiation damage or something to some of the plants and aspects of that type that you're mentioning. I'm not sure how far you could get away from the basic conflict, though, by waiting until the end of the argument to say, well, our attention is called to this only because of the UFO phenomenon. But it might be a good try. Mm-hmm. And using fundamental science approaches to investigating possible traces is the kind of thing that we called on in our report.
How extensive was the acting, the committee investigation? Would you consider it to be very extensive and thorough, or do you think it was just scratching the surface of this whole controversy?
I think it cannot be said to be very thorough. We met 4 days in October and 2 days in November. Nothing like the Colorado or Condon effort, but at the same time, the selection of the people was such that it's UFO investigators who've been in this business for some time being asked to give their best cases.
Yeah. And so if you're going to do a really serious investigation, you can't just put 6 days in.
That's quite true.
Yeah, you really would have to create a whole infrastructure for investigating these stories.
Certainly.
And you think that's what's needed?
I'm sorry?
You think that's what's needed?
Well, that's what our report comes up with. It would be good if there was a continued contact and that some kind of support was given, and we give the example of the French effort as something that we believe should be considered seriously for the rest of the world, including the United States.
Have you heard from anybody who says, yes, we're behind you, we'll sink those kinds of resources into it?
Well, individuals, but not on the last point of, yes, we'll put the resources into it. I think it's probably too early for that before it just hit the press in the last week.
Do you expect some supportive reaction?
Well, I'm sure there's this.
Or are people just going to laugh at you and say another couple of kooks, a kooky panel?
Well, somewhere in between, I think. There are UFO investigators who are going to continue no matter what we would have said. What our hope was that maybe a few scientists might get a little more into it, not be quite so edgy about the association with the extreme in the UFO community, and think seriously about whether some of the information about sightings should be looked at more thoroughly.
Well, I thank you very much, and I wish you good luck in your efforts.
Thank you very much for having me.
And thanks for taking time out from this holiday weekend for joining us. Ron Usselman, Professor Emeritus of Electrical Engineering at Stanford University in Stanford, California.